Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And no, the podcast has not been hijacked. This is the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. New music. Going to be changing things up a little bit this year in a lot of different ways. Starting off, of course, with the music, most obviously. You know, it was back in 2013, I started podcasting. We're pushing 12 years here. And at the time, it was good music. I liked it. I had a funk show in college. Seemed natural. But as I was thinking about making some changes for the podcast going forward, one of the things that some of my more honest, candid friends told me was hey, maybe reconsider the music. I had more than one person say it sounded like music that might be the intro for a triple X-rated pay-per-rental video. Not exactly the vibe I wanted to be going for. So as I was thinking about making some of those changes, I thought, let's change up some music too. But more than the music, a lot of things I'm excited to change going forward, or at least tweak a little bit on the content side. One, I want to start sharing more of what I'm doing with work, with business, with running E-Commerce Fuel, with running hopefully future ventures. But to be very candid, I've been talking about e-commerce for 12 plus years now. And as much as Facebook ads, email marketing, these kind of things are crucial for building a lot of businesses, it just is not what gets me up in the morning. And if I had to bet money, I'm a betting man, I would bet that's not your real deep passion in life too. Increasingly, as I am further and further along in the entrepreneurial game here, I want to talk about things that I'm probably a little more passionate about: finance, health, relationships, travel, adventure. Isn't that, because ultimately, isn't that what we're using those tools to build toward anyway? I think it is for most of us. And not to say those things aren't going to still be covered. We're still going to talk about a lot of those things on a regular basis. But I also want to spend more time intentionally talking about the amazing life side of things, which I tease at the top of every podcast. I'm going to be doing fewer interviews. Interviews are great. It's always fun to highlight and get to chat with people that I admired. They're doing interesting things. But one, I think there's a ton of interview shows. I've been doing them for a long time. I want to start talking more about the things that I'm doing, that I'm interested in, that I'm working on. They take a lot of time. And we're still going to have probably a couple of months, but expect a few fewer interviews. Going to be doing a monthly episode where we're going to cover more timely topics, Q&A, what's happening in the e-commerce fuel community at a high level, some of the discussions and issues that are being discussed, being sensitive to confidentiality, of course, but going to be joined monthly by Bill D'Alessandro, who is a longtime friend of the podcast, great friend of mine, and I'm going to be excited to have him on more. And also, I'm going to be cutting advertising. And the reason, one, because I just, for a couple of reasons for this. One, your time is really valuable, and I want to make sure in a world that is increasingly noisy, that when you come to the show, you get a lot of choices, that I respect your time and getting to the point right away. Secondly, I like the idea of being advertiser-free from an objectivity perspective. We've had great partners in the past that I felt very good promoting and standing behind. And we'll still, for some of our events, very likely have sponsors. But anyone who tells you that when you get a check from somebody, it doesn't change what you say or what you hold your tongue about, I think has never taken money from someone. Anyway, those are some of the changes we're going to have going forward. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to kind of lean into this kind of new different content side and hope you enjoy it. So I'd love to hear from you too. If you have thoughts on this, if there's things you want to see as the new format rolls out, would love to hear from you. podcast@ecommercefuel.com. Would be great to hear your thoughts. All right, what's happening? I am personally in Tucson at the moment. Been down here for 2 or 3 days. Going to be doing a kind of a summary of how the gap year for myself and my family has been going next week. But at the moment, the family's up in Montana. We spent Christmas up there with friends and family. Been doing some skiing for the first time. I went to college. Most people pick a college based on what they want to study. I picked it based on the mountains and the proximity to ski hills, which I had a lot of fun. Not sure if it was the best career choice or would recommend, but did that a lot in college. Skied out of Bozeman, skied at Bridger Bowl, hitchhiked up, got a ton of days in, probably at the expense of some of my grades. But between work, family, those kind of things, I have not had a good ski season in a good 20 years. So it's great getting the family out, getting out for some fun skiing with friends. Down here, getting some sun because I'm solar powered and Montana is a little gray at times, and also getting some work done. So it's good to be soaking up the vitamin D. And again, next week we'll be giving you kind of an update on how the gap year has gone. It's insane to think I'm 7 months into this, and it's been a pretty cool learning experience. But today I want to talk about a few things I've been up to, a few things I've learned and incorporated in my business, specifically kind of priorities for the year and quarterly reviews for our team and planning. And quarterly reviews I want to start with. I have hated is a strong word. I have dreaded quarterly reviews as a leader for a long time. And part of it is because they take a long time. They're so important to do well, to have your team moving in the right direction, to get things done, to have accountability, but they take a tremendous amount of time and headspace. And this last quarter, I sat down and thought, you know what? I'm tired of not doing these well. I'm tired of them being something I dread. I want to overhaul them to make them easier and also more effective. And so I want to walk you through kind of the tweaks I made and the things that I learned. And so previously, the quarterly review process that we were doing was kind of a combination of having a long couple hour call, a lot of emails going back and forth. It spanned multiple different documents, and it just took a lot of mental energy to be able to track. And so probably the biggest thing that I did was I said, okay, we're going to take all of this and consolidate it into one document in ClickUp. And so I created a ClickUp template, and here's what it looks like. We use one of these for every quarter that we're planning. At the very top, it's laid out as an agenda as well. And so you can think through this. At the very top, we review what I call our company one-pager. You always hear about how, as a leader, one of your responsibilities is to repeat the important things to your team ad nauseum to the point where they get sick of it. And maybe then you will be communicating enough. And so for me, every quarter, we go through this thing of why we exist as a company, what is important for us to do well, the four or five things it's important for us to do well to thrive, and then what I value in my team members, the three or four traits. And maybe we can talk about those, save those for another episode. But we go through that. And I've always done that, but this is how we start the agenda meeting. The second thing is I share with my team and remind them, if we haven't already, what my and the company's focus is for the quarter. In just a couple bullets, what are the big things we're focused on? From there, then we review their goals for the year. And so I always ask all my team members to every year make a list of personal and business goals that they'd love to hit for the year. The business goals are mandatory. The personal ones are not. I love, as a team member or as a leader, to know what some of the important goals are for my team so I can help them if I can or make things easier for them. Some people like sharing them, some people don't, but we review those. And then we go through the flight plan, what I call the flight plans. If you use EOS or Traction, you probably are familiar with these, they're called ROCs. But then we will go through and either, it depends if we're reviewing the quarter before or if we're kind of gearing up for the next quarter. And so for every quarterly review we have, we're going to either be reviewing the document that we filled out last time or looking at a new document we filled out. And so for the quarter in review, we'll look at the flight plans or ROCs, however you want to call them, the three or four or five big projects that person had to go through. Then we will look at their success metrics, so their KPIs that they have, the area of growth that they set previously and how they're doing on that. We'll talk about their best work from the last quarter. And this is something where they talk about what they were proudest of last quarter. And I also share what I think they did the best work in. And then I also ask them where help is needed for the upcoming quarter, where I can, as the leader, be the most helpful for them for achieving their goals in the upcoming quarter. And finally, this is unique to me or e-commerce fuel, but we will do, at the very end of it all, we'll do a review of the profit sharing, because we do profit sharing quarterly based on a couple different things. And that's kind of the agenda. At a very high level, if you are in e-commerce fuel, a community member, I will be sharing this in the forums, and so you can go ahead and get access to this template. But a few things that have been helpful, even in the short iteration period for this, one is spending a lot more time putting the onus and the workload on your team members to prepare for these in a written way, versus just hopping on and having to do it yourself. There's been a lot of time I have tried to calculate everything, go through their work, measure it. And doing that in a, doing the prep work myself before the call, and then having this hop on the phone call and having them walk through it verbally. And what I do now, which we've done part of this for a couple quarters now, has been tremendously helpful, is I will send this out before our review, about a week before, and I'll say, hey, go through, please. And in the template, I have spots for these. Go through, and I want you to rate, I want you to give me a description, a couple paragraphs about how every big goal went. And then I want you to rate out of a scale of 1 to 5, how you think it went. And they do that for all the things we discussed at the beginning of the quarter on the same document. So I can log in before this call, and in about 5 minutes, at any time I want, I can get a sense of how the quarter went, what's done, what's not done, how their KPIs look. I don't have to dig in and try to find this, and I get their opinion quickly in a written format that's super time efficient. So that has been amazingly helpful. I also ask them, as a part of that review process, to go through and suggest a couple of the flight plans for the next quarter. And I end up setting them, but I love getting recommendations from them. And also grading me on how I did that quarter on the things I was supposed to help them with. And so having the template is so helpful, and having the written element of it, because then you can dive into the phone call and you're both up to speed on kind of, you know, maybe I haven't shared with them how I think they did that quarter. And oftentimes I'll agree, sometimes I won't. And that's where we can spend the time. But the time is so much more efficiently spent, and you can realistically get through one of these quarterly review and planning sessions in an hour, where before it was taking us 2+ hours to do. The other thing that I have found is I was sitting doing our quarterly reviews this last quarter, and I was looking at the kind of the KPIs or the metrics, the numbers that people are responsible for. And I had, for one of my team members in particular, I had like 6 or 7 metrics they were responsible for. And I just thought, this is insane. And so I spent some time, I did the kind of the why exercise a lot of times, and boiled it down to, okay, here's the one metric that you're responsible for. I don't care how you get here, but this is the thing we care about. And even just setting it up for the next quarter already, it has given so much more clarity and direction and clarity of mind in terms of what this person's role is. And so if you have more than a couple KPIs or numbers that someone's responsible for, I'd do what I did. It's hard. It took me a while, but spend the time to see if you can really boil that down to what really matters. So anyway, those are the thoughts on quarterly reviews. This process, even in the short time we've kind of rolled it out, is so much easier. The other final thing I'd try to encourage you to do, and then I've worked in, is have someone, if you have an EA, if you have an assistant, if you have someone on your team that can be responsible for templating this and sending these out for you. So I'm sure you've been in the situation where, you know, it's like the second or third or fourth of the month in a new quarter, and you haven't even started thinking about this. But if you have a template, if you have someone on your team responsible for sending these out to all your team members 2 weeks before, it saves you a lot of time and energy. So anyway, quarterly reviews, hit the forms if you want to see that template. It's been really beneficial for me. Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Phil from Saddlebox.net, which is a pet subscription box for equestrian enthusiasts. And met Phil at multiple events. He's been a member since about 2020. And here's what he has to say about his experience with E-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure founders.
Anytime I have any kind of a question about how to run an online business, I can just hop on my computer or on my cell phone, type out a post, and really quickly I'll have lots of great suggestions from people about how to solve the problem. I also check it every single day, even if I don't have any questions. A lot of times I'll read a post and see an idea from somebody that I've never had before that I can apply to my business to make it better right away. It's really cool. It's like having your own board of advisors at your fingertips at all times of the day.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. The other thing I want to talk through today is the things I'm focusing on for the year. So I was trying to think through trying to think through from a simplicity perspective, how do you really focus? If you have too many priorities, you're not going to get any of them done. And so I have this 3x3 matrix that I've created and I'm trying out for 2025. And I like how it's feeling right now. The top three things I'm focused on with my number one goal. And then for each of those, the three things underneath it that I'm going to try to do to make sure I accomplish that. So for me, the first one, number one goal is marketing, to increase the number of applications in e-commerce fuel through marketing. And this one was a little hard to put on, and it's a little hard to admit publicly, but I think over the last, been running e-commerce fuel for, man, it's been, 12 years. It's wild. And over that time, we've never done paid marketing. And apart from the podcast, we haven't done any intentional marketing over the last 3 years. We've just been focused on other things. I've been taking a little time off. And for a long time, we got by with word of mouth, driving a lot of applications, and with not needing to because we were growing or doing well. And that lack of marketing and kind of apathy there has caught up with us this last year. We've seen the number of applications drop down. And so that is something that is the biggest goal for me as the founder this year is to increase the number of applications and specifically to do that through intentional marketing. I mean, we don't even have, again, this is embarrassing to admit, when Google Analytics just wet the bed and we went to GA4 and everything changed, we don't even have a good application for tracking analytics anymore. So there's just a lot of neglect that has happened there. And so that's why it's the number one goal. And the three things to focus on for me there are publishing consistently, to do it week in and week out. Going to be the second one is to focus on minimal number of channels, really trying to elevate the podcast, which is something I love to do. Focus on email and SMS and using some paid promotion to try to promote some of my written content. I think it's easy to spread yourself too thin on the content side. And so that's why the second part is to try to be more focused. And then the third one is to spend twice as much time marketing content versus writing. This is something I have fallen into so many times. You spend hours and hours and hours on this phenomenal piece of content, and then you publish it once on a newsletter or a blog or post it to social and you're done. And I get surprised why it doesn't get more traction. Great marketers, I think, create phenomenal content, but they're even better at promoting it. So that's my number one goal for e-commerce fuel for the year. The second one is to do interesting things that I can write about. And this is, you know, a subsidiary to the first one. But I don't know if you feel this way, but the longer you're in business and doing entrepreneurship, you have the things that you know you need to do for your business to keep it running well and doing well. And you have the things that you're naturally drawn toward. And there is a time where it makes sense to kind of suck it up and grind and do the things you need to do. And then I think there's a time to go back to doing the things you love doing. And so for me, I want to start getting back into that and start doing things. And I'm a tinkerer at heart. I love getting my hands dirty, and I've missed really having my hands dirty over the last few years with kind of focusing more on leadership and content and a few other things. So anyway, the three things I'm trying to do here are launch and operate a new brand as leanly as possible by the end of the year. Lots more to talk about here. But I think we live in such, with the tools that are emerging on AI, the possibilities for running brands with a lot of automation, intelligence, and lean personnel, I think is pretty phenomenal. So very excited to do that. Second is to go on a meaningful adventure monthly that intimidates me. And this could be anything from, stay tuned, you'll hear about these, but try to do something new that intimidates me a little bit. I think as we get to be adults, we don't do that as much. And that's where you grow. And that's where you have great stories to share and where you build that bravery muscle. And the third one is to spend 6 hours or to spend one day, like one focus day per month, learning a new discrete skill with the goal of accomplishing something discrete. I think I said discrete a lot of times there. But the goal here is there's so many things that I'm guessing you're probably the same way. You've heard about Firefly from Adobe. I've heard about Replit for programming AI. I've wanted to spend some time improving my storytelling. Whatever it is, sitting down, dedicating a whole day, phone off, to learning a new skill that you can use in your entrepreneurial or even just personal toolkit. So anyway, very excited to do that. And from a learning perspective, second priority is starting to do more interesting things that I love and also can share with people. And then my final focus for the year is to improve my leadership. I don't think I'm alone here. Leading your team members has got to be the hardest thing that you do professionally, week in and week out. And I think we all can improve. I could definitely improve on this. And so the three areas I'm going to try to this year: one, setting a high bar and rewarding my team accordingly. I am probably someone who does not like conflict, and I have a phenomenal team. I'm so thankful for a phenomenal team. But you also want to have high expectations for them. And when they hit them, you want to reward them really well. And so for me, setting a high bar and rewarding my team is one of the focus areas. The second area, and I probably should have put this number one, was creating clarity. Where are we going as a company? What are the expectations? What are the individual contributors' goals? I talked about this earlier, how do I simplify the metrics that we have that and your responsibilities? It is easy as a team lead to just keep throwing stuff over the wall to your team. And before you realize that they're doing two, three, four dozen things really poorly. And a good leader, I think, looks at that, regularly checks in on that, creates a lot of clarity, which ironically takes a lot of time to do well. And then the third part is to streamline the process for that. I talked about that again at the quarterly check-ins. How do we make this repeatable, less painful, and also serve 90% of the goals we're trying to hit? So that's the focus for 2025. It's a little scary sharing these publicly because it's one thing to talk about it with a couple of people. It's another thing to put it out to your entire audience and say, hey, these are the things I'm focused on for the year. Because if I don't do them or I wimp out on some, it's going to be pretty obvious. So, it's good. From an accountability perspective, it's great, but it's a little scary too. But excited for hopefully what will be a really fun and fruitful year. Forge What Matters. This is going to be a new segment. I try to do most, if not every podcast, to talk about things in addition to business that I think are important. Like I teased at the top of the episode, relationships, health, friends, travel, adventure, the things outside of business that I spend a lot of time thinking about, I think are important. I think most of us think are important. I got done with school and my first boss in finance and investment banking was a really intimidating guy. He played football at Harvard, and not just because he was athletic, he was sharp. This man was really sharp, very intimidating, never hesitated to tell you how you felt or when you slipped up. I think I maybe got one or two compliments from him over the course of my 2.5 years there, and I remember them very clearly. He was a maker of men, which I think, I don't know if that's someone that you want to work for 40 years, but it's definitely someone I'm glad I worked for a couple of years. And I was over at his house one night for dinner, and he had a family. He had two young girls at the time. And I remember it really well for a couple of reasons. The first reason is I tried to pay him and his daughters a compliment. I had these beautiful daughters that were running around and they were super cute. And in my mind, I thought, well, how do I give him a compliment about his daughters in a way that doesn't creep him out? And I said, you have really beautiful daughters. They're going to be very beautiful when they are older. And I was trying to convey like, hey, I'm not being creepy, but it came across totally the opposite. Like I was going to be checking in to date his daughters in a decade. That was rough. After I convinced him I was not super creepy pedophile man that was working for him, we settled down, had a great dinner. And at some point I'm not sure how it came up, but he shared that he had three values for his family, three kind of pillars that he tried to get his kids to embody. He always told them that he wanted them to be kind, honest, and hardworking. And I thought that was really cool to have these values as a family that you could look around and encourage. And when we had kids, we have a 12, 10, and a 7-year-old. I stole those for our family, shamelessly ripped them off, and added one more. I added bravery. Because I think it's pretty rare to be able to have an exceptional life unless you have some bravery to ask that person out, to take that job you're not sure about, to start that business, whatever it is. And in our family, when we see these with our kids, especially like true examples of these, we do our best to celebrate it. We usually call them out at dinner, and you got to be careful. If you do this every time and you're giving participation trophies, it dilutes it. But I would probably say two or three times a month, either my wife or myself, or even our kids, sometimes they'll give them to each other because they kind of have seen the pattern here. We'll give one of the awards when we see one of our kids embody you know, being kind, honest, hardworking, or brave. And I think one of the things that has made it stick is that after we award it to them, we don't just kind of say that. The whole family kind of goes bananas. We whoop and we cheer and we whistle and we clap. And this is not a half-hearted thing. Like, we get after it. Some of our kids eat it up. A few of my kids, my daughters in particular, are very much words of affirmation people. They love that. My son doesn't really care as much. It's nice. It doesn't make his day. But it gives us a chance to lift them up, especially with all of the correcting we do as parents. It's nice to have some things we encourage them. It's a great chance for that. And it's also great so they know what we stand for and what we reward, and that people notice how they behave. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.